the eyes of God. You know, this is a vast, vast subject. I didn't realize until I had gotten into it just how vast it is. Now, we'll not be able to go into everything today, but what we will go into, we hope will be a blessing to you as it was to us. Over 200 times the word eye or eyes are used in Scripture. And in our study today, we'll see how important our eyes are and how the eyes of God are used in Scripture and the lessons that we may grasp from the eyes. God says to us in Scripture, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. This is the New King James Version of Psalms 32, verse 8. In Psalms 11, verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. So looking at the human eye, we will learn a little about God's eyes and His eyelids as well. Proverbs 20, verse 12. Proverbs 20, verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. So here we find two important human organs are mentioned. But for a while this morning, or this afternoon, we want to specifically look at the human eye. We don't want you to go to sleep, for as we're going to give you 12 parts of the human eye, first of all, and you're going to see just how important the eyes are. Just what do we know about our eyes? Well, we're told that the eyes are undoubtedly the most sensitive and the most delicate organs that we possess, and perhaps the most amazing. They present us with the window through which we view the world and are responsible for 4/5 of all the information the brain receives. This is probably why we rely on our eyesight more than any other sense. Can we imagine, brethren, that the eyes are the windows which we view the world, and that our eyes are responsible for 4/5 of all the information that our brain receives? This is just amazing. And let's now look closely at the human eye. As I said, you've just had a nice meal, so you want to go to sleep, but I would suggest you not go to sleep while we view the various parts of the human eye. Our introduction to the human eye will take just a few minutes. This delicate organ is made up of 12 different parts, all of which go into our vision. And as I get older, I can tell you that I rely on help for my seeing. The first part of our human eye is called the vitreous humor. That is the transparent gelatinous substance that fills the eyeball behind the crystalline lens. This fluid preserves the spherical shape of our eyeball as well as helping to support the retina. Besides having the consistency of egg white, it's mainly made up 99% water. Second is what they call the ciliar body. Now, this ciliar body pertains to the various anatomical structures in or about the eyeball itself. The ciliar body comprises two parts, the ciliar process and the ciliar muscle. It's the latter, the muscle, which causes the lens to change shape. Our eyeball is changing all the time. If the eye is focusing on a distant object, the muscles relax, causing the ligaments to tighten and the lens to lengthen. And when we focus on an object nearby, the muscles tighten up. The ligaments then slacken and the lens shortens. The lining of the ciliar body also secretes what we call aqueous humor, the fluid which fills the front part of our eye. The third part of our eye is called the lens. And the lens is responsible for refracting light held in place by these ligaments, which connect to the ciliar body. The lens can change shape to focus on objects at different distances. A reflex is known as accommodation. And you know what? It does this over 100,000 times a day. The fourth is what we call the cornea. And although normally only half a millimeter thick, the cornea is responsible for 70% of our focusing of the eye. It is the most important layer in the refractive procedure, and together with the lens forms a clear image in the back part of the retina. Number five is called the conjunctiva. This conjunctiva is merely a thin transparent membrane covering the cornea, and yet its function is vital to our seeing. It protects the eye from airborne debris. And this is actually only one of the protective procedures of the human eye. Others include the orbit, the eye socket, the eyelashes, and quite surprisingly, the eyebrows. Their function being to stop sweat from running into the eye. I'll bet you didn't know that. I certainly didn't. Tears, which constantly bathe the surface of the eye, also can remove or are there to remove dust and dirt, as well as killing bacteria. Next is called the sixth is called the aqueous humor. This is the watery liquid at the front of the eye, secreted mainly by the ciliar body. Number seven is the iris. We've heard of the iris. This is a thin diagram that lies behind and is visible through the cornea. The iris contains the pupil, which dilates and constricts to regulate light that reaches the retina. And eighth is the choroid. The choroid runs behind the retina and at the front of the eye and forms the ciliar body, as it contains many blood cells. The cornea supplies the eye with the nutrients and the oxygen, as well as removing all waste. And the choroid also has a high concentration of a pigment called melanin in its cells. It is this pigment that prevents internal reflection within the eye and stopping us from receiving blurred images. And number nine is the retina. The back of the retina contains a deep layer of light-sensitive cells called rods and cones. And this is where the image is reflected. Rods are responsible for our night vision, while the cones are responsible for the daytime vision. The cones also allow us to see color and detail. Think of this as we proceed. How important your eyes and my eyes are. The retina contains a layer of ganglion cells on the surface, and these cells connect the nerve fibers to the optic nerve. This means that the nerve fibers actually pass over the sensitive part of the eye, but odd as it may seem, no disturbance in vision is caused. Number 10 is the scleria. Basically, this is the white part of our eye. Attached to the scleria are six and exterior muscles, which enable us to look left, right, up, and down, and at the front of the eye, the scleria forms the cornea. And number 11 is the optic nerve. And this optic nerve is responsible for carrying information about the image to the brain. It contains no sensory receptors itself, and thereby the head of the optic nerve, otherwise known as the optic disc, corresponds to the normal blind spot. Yeah, we have a blind spot of the eye. Last is the fovea. Now, you've been patient. You've gone through this with me. This is the area of the retina packed with cone cells, and because of this, it gives us our acute vision. For example, when we're reading, the word in which we're focusing is being projected onto the fovea, and these 12 parts of the eye make up our vision. You know, the prophet David wrote in Psalms 139, verses 14 to 17, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes, whose eyes? God's eyes, did see my substance, that is my frame, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. How amazing, brethren. How amazing. We are certainly fearfully and wonderfully made. And how marvelous are our eyes. Considering this, how marvelous are God's eyes. Does God have eyes? Have we ever seen him? We don't know. We don't know what he looks like. We know him from what he tells us about himself. That's what we know about God. Webster says of the eye, it is the power of seeing. What do we see? With Almighty God, it is his omniscient character or quality. So now we're going to take a look at how God sees us. God's eyes are over the righteous, we read in 1 Peter 3 and 13. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 10, we read about the apple of the eye. This is the pupil, as we have learned in going into the eye itself. Now here God emphasizes his care, his sensitiveness for his people's welfare, metaphorically representing their preciousness in his sight and his quickness to act on their behalf. In Jeremiah 32, verse 19, we read about God's observation upon everyone. His eyes are opened unto all the ways of the sons of men in order to give to each one according to his ways. Now, if we go back to one of the very first texts about that we read from Psalms 32:8, which we took from the New King James Version, we'd like to read it now from the Rotherham translation, Psalms 32:10. I don't know why I've got 10 down there. I'm pretty sure it's 32:8. I will make thee discreet. This is Rotherham. I will point out to thee the way which thou must go, I will fix upon thee mine eye. Now imagine, brethren, the most powerful being in the world dealing with little us. Almighty God says that he will fix his eye upon us and point out the way that we are to walk. In the New King James Version, God says he will teach us. The Hebrew word for teach is maskil. I'm not saying this correct, meaning to give instruction. Now, brethren, picture yourself in a schoolroom being taught by God. God says to us, see this workbook? See this workbook? In it are my ways in which I want you to follow. The words in this manual are my eyes of guidance for you. As you study, I will have my eyes upon you. I didn't like it when I was in school and that teacher looked at me. I knew I'd done something wrong. At least I felt that way sometimes. We might now ask, how well are we being taught by God? God sees everything we do, and are we following his word closely? Be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, the word of truth, that is. First, at 2 Timothy 2:15 from King James Version. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:13. When we look into the Bible, we find that God's eyes become a symbol of wisdom. And I found this kind of an interesting commentary by the pastor on Psalms 32:8 on being guided with God's eye. And we quote from reprints 48:58. We find that God's eye is a symbol of wisdom. For God guides all things in wisdom. He sees to it that his children receive the necessary counsel, the necessary aid. And since he is the all-wise one, nothing can escape his attention. Still, another thought is that as we recognize the divine purpose, the divine will, the divine outworking of that will, we see that in the present time, God is not trying to save the world, but only the called and the elect who are obedient in sacrifice. All who are of the firstborn should seek to follow the same course as God, to be co-workers with him. And then again he writes, this is Brother Russell again, and this is found in 48, 58, and 59 of the reprints, one of the most important lessons for the spiritual Israelite to learn is to look to the Lord for the leading in all of life's affairs. Never to attempt any undertaking, either temporal or spiritual, without seeking to note the will of God concerning it. We are marching towards the antitypical Canaan and know that other experiences are due us and must be undergone ere that we can inherit the promises. So the lesson for us is prompt and thorough obedience to the Lord's leadings without murmurings, with joyfulness. And this can only be expected on the part of those who have learned the lessons previously given them. And above all, the lesson of faith, confidence in the Lord's power, and goodness and faithfulness. Unquote. Now, we all realize, as God's children, that we are being guided by God's wisdom. His eyes. Yes, His eyes. Listen to the words found in Job, the 12th chapter, verses 12 and 13. Job 12, 12 and 13. With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength, and he hath counsel and understanding. Then we read in Job 28 and 20, Job 28, 20, whence cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? God understands the way, and he knows the place thereof. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven. Isn't that marvelous? Seeing all this, we read in Psalms 90 and verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Within the wisdom of God is his judgment. Speaking of Abraham, Genesis 18, 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Yes, here God says that Abraham would command his children and his house to be morally and justly right. Are we doing this? In Psalms 89, verse 14, we read, 89:14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne, and mercy and truth will go before thy face. Here, we find a good lesson. We are to teach our children and our household to be merciful and just. Not only our families either, but ourselves as well. Why? Because God's eyes are over us. He is watching every move we make. God looks to see if we are following his word. And let us now look at some scriptures about the eyes. We find in Scripture that the eyes are used figuratively of mental and spiritual abilities. In Genesis 3:5 we read, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Of course, this was Satan tempting Mother Eve. In this verse, the eyes are the eyes of understanding. You know, when a blind person is told of some event, he might say, oh, I see. That is, I understand. Certainly, Satan knew that this was a half-truth. For the first time, mankind learned the lessons of knowing both good and evil. And in Proverbs 4 and 25, We have another moral faculty where the eyes are used. And we read, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Here we see that we are to look at things before our eyes and not let them wander around. Keeping our eyes straight ahead, we will not allow our minds to stray on things of no importance. They use blinders on horses to keep their eyes straight ahead. In Proverbs 4:25, again, we are told to let our eyelids look straight before us. Now, when we examined the various parts of the eye, we saw that one of the use of the eyelashes was to keep out dirt from entering the eye. This we have and can see as a protection for our vision. Back in verse 23 of Proverbs 4th chapter, we are told, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Now we have a couple of other scriptures here. One about Lot's wife. We remember this story well, that Lot, it says that Lot's wife, looking backward, or looked backwards, and was turned into a pillar of salt. Now, looking backwards does something. It arrests our progress. If you stop and you look back behind you, you're not making any progress. Keep your eyes straight ahead and keep moving in the direction that you want to go. Sometimes looking at difficulties depresses us. We heard about depression from our dear brother Blanco this morning. Yes, if we look at our difficulties, we can be depressed. Remember Peter? Peter saw the Lord walking on water, and he invited him out of the boat. And Peter got out of the boat and started to walk on water. I hope we don't try to do this, but we do sometimes. This comes from Matthew 24, 29 and 30. It's the lack of faith because Peter saw the waves and started to sink. And then there was Job's faith, which was increased, as we read in 42, verse 5 of Job. I have seen thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Job had to learn a lot of lessons before he was ready for God to bless him. And he did. Again, in Proverbs 23, verse 5, we read these words. Will you set your eyes on mammon? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Here the eyes picture the desires of the flesh. On this score, we have Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you becomes darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. New International Version. Also within Scripture, we have the phrase, in the eye of. Here we have the thought of in one's opinion. Genesis 16, verse 4. This was when Sarah could not bear children, and she asked her husband to go under her handmaid and have a child by him. And Ishmael was born. Hagar despised Sarah. And it reads, after Hagar conceived, Sarah was despised in her eyes. The word despised from the Hebrew has the meaning to be brought into contempt. Hagar made fun of Sarah because she couldn't bear children. Hagar looked with contempt upon Sarah. And then there's the evil eye mentioned in Scripture. We remember the parable of the vineyard. This is about those that went into the vineyard to work and were paid a penny. Some were angry because the owner of the vineyard paid those who worked only 1 hour as much as those who worked all day. Matthew 20, verse 15 reads, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thy eye evil because I am good? Here the eye is from the Greek Strong's 3788, to be envious or jealous as from a side glance. From Proverbs 22, verse 12. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthrows the words of the transgressors. That is, God's eyes preserve knowledge. As with God, what we see with our eyes gives us knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 4, 5 tells us, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now, taking this scripture to heart, we see that God's eyes are over all of our understanding and knowledge, and that our eyes must look to God for wisdom and knowledge. And then there's a little phrase, to hide the eyes. In another phrase, this is used in Scripture to indicate the carelessness and the lack of sympathy. Proverbs 28:27. He that gives unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. Did you know that God's messengers are the eyes of God? Yes, our guardian angels observe everything that goes on in the lives of the consecrated. We read in Psalms 91:11-12, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all his ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thyself against a stone. We see that for the Lord's people, they should rejoice at this text of Scripture. For the holy ones, these holy angels that watch over us are the eyes of Almighty God. They observe everything that's going on in the lives of the people of God. They are spoken of as eyes of the Lord of all the earth. Second Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards them. Time is up. We're going to summarize quickly. We have seen a magnificent picture in the eyes. The eyes are used in so many different ways in Scripture, in instruction, in wisdom, in judgment, in mental and spiritual abilities, in earthly ways, as we have seen in the evil eye and the hiding of the eyes, from a lack of sympathy, the lust of the eyes to acquire something that is gratifying to our eyes, or the eye in the opinion of. And God's eyes are upon everything we do, upon his servants, his messengers, the angels, the human instrumentalities. As we read in Psalms 91:11-12, his messengers keep watch over us to protect us in our walk. So God's eyes run to and fro throughout the earth on behalf of his people. Yes, our eyes, my dear brethren, are marvelous in giving us vision to see and to understand. The hymn says, "Once I was blind, but now I can see," is a wonderful statement, and how true and how blessed we are to see and understand what God is telling us and what he is doing for us. So let us rejoice and be glad for this little organ that he has given to us.